You're listening to Morning Edition on WBHM. This week, members of the Birmingham Board of Education voted against the nearly $12 million in cost-cutting measures suggested by a state investigation team. The board now faces a possible takeover by the state, but in his latest column, Birmingham News columnist John Archibald argues the Birmingham school system doesn't have a money problem, but rather it has a problem with money. John joins us in the studio now to explain the difference. Good morning, John, and what is the difference in your mind?
Well, Birmingham is not a badly funded school system. Certainly it's not funded on a level of Mountain Brook or Vestavia or some of those that are really, really well funded. But over the years, it has a pretty good supply of money. The problem is that its priorities are that it has put so much money in central office and in highly paid administrative positions that the teachers and students don't always get their fair share.
So you liken this to a chronic disease, I guess, that's been around for a long time.
Right. It's not just the school board. It's not just the superintendent. It has haunted almost every superintendent that's come through there, and there are quite a few of those. In the last few years, their inability to deal with it. It's Wayman Shiver, a former superintendent, used to say, that the system was more an employment agency, seemed more like an employment agency sometimes than an education facility, and that has been the case.
So this cost-cutting plan suggested by the state included about 180 jobs being eliminated, many of them in that central office that you talk about, and the school board said,
No, we'll come up with our own plan, they say, which is, of course, their refusal to deal with it over the course of time has been the source of this problem, and the refusal to deal realistically with those problems for the good of the system is why the state's here in the first place.
So if the problem is, in fact, a priority-setting issue, this battle between the board and the state, is it black and white, or is there some room for compromise on at least, some of the proposed issues, like, for instance, the closure of Norwood Elementary?
Well, that certainly remains to be seen with the relationship with the state and the city. But, of course, one would hope that, yes, those issues are debatable. I don't think that the state has any, I can't speak for the state, but it would be bizarre to think the state would be able to, would want to come in and say, I want to micromanage all of your decisions about schools. That would fly in the face of everything that most of us believe a local school system should be responsible for. And I don't think that is primarily the issue. But the school board itself, every time it has a proposal that requires it to close a school, enters into this same argument where neighborhoods come up and say, you can't close my school, you're doing horrible things. So as a result, we end up with schools we don't need, we dilute the teaching staff, we hire administrators, we end up in this position. Those kind of hard decisions have to be made, whether it's by the school system or the state.
Now, you say everyone agrees that the state shouldn't be micromanaging, and I'm not going to ding you on the everyone agrees, but
no.
What I'm going to say, isn't that essentially what a state takeover is? Is the state saying, you guys can't do it on your own, so we are going to come in and make these decisions for you?
Yeah, first of all, I should never say everyone agrees about anything.
I'm sure you've preached that to your teenagers.
Right. But let's remember, we don't actually have a state takeover at this point either. So I think that those individual micro issues are maybe less important right now than this board's ability to show that it can look at issues realistically and address the financial concerns.
How inevitable is a state takeover, though, in this instance?
I think, despite the fact that the board president yesterday tried to write a letter to the state saying, let us offer a plan, I think they have demonstrated a contempt for both the state and the financial plan that will make a takeover not just likely, it is going to happen.
Okay. Other big news this week, the Supreme Court declined to hear the appeal of former Governor Don Sigelman on his 2006 bribery conviction. What had his attorneys been hoping to argue in that appeal?
Well, the whole definition of bribery of a public official is a question. The big question that not just his lawyers but people all over the country wanted to know is if you're a public official and somebody gives you a campaign contribution, you turn around and reward that person in some way without a stated agreement, that it's a quid pro quo. Is it really bribery? And that's the issue. And there's not a lot of clarity in that. And some people want clarity in that, saying it's bribery or not. Others say, well, that's what a jury does.
Mm-hmm. Have we learned anything new about this case since the original conviction?
Well, not very much. I mean, other than the facts that the facts that the jury heard were the facts. There are those who say the prosecution was a little bit overzealous. There are people who say it was political, but at the root of it, the facts remain the same.
Okay, so book somewhat closed on that, but, you know, other politicians have reemerged following convictions and prison time. Do you see a political future for Siegelman in Alabama or elsewhere?
No.
Not at all.
I don't. I think he had his fight. He was a great shining star in the face of the New South for a while, and he was his own undoing.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
John Archbold's column appears in the Birmingham News on Sundays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. He joins us each Thursday here on Morning Edition on WBHM.